This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony.
All right, hour two rolling along. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Jordan Dehany will join us in hour three, and we will go over our NFL games in hour three as well as we get ready for this week number two. Sunday Night Football has got the Miami Dolphins taking on the New England Patriots in an AFC battle. There are two Monday night games, They didn't open the season with them. Why would they? It was Aaron Rodgers and the Jets against Buffalo. The league was like, yeah, there's no other thing we want to focus anybody's attention on. But we will do the double Monday night thing in week number two. Steelers will play Cleveland, and then Carolina will go up against New Orleans. Is that not a terrible Monday night schedule for week two? The Steelers coming off a blowout loss to San Francisco against Deshaun Watson and the Browns. I know it's a rivalry within the division, but come on. And then the New Orleans Saints, and I'll repeat this all season, I couldn't care less that Derek Carr is playing for them against Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers on Monday Night Football.
All right, but real quick, though, isn't Steelers-Browns one of those games where you just throw out the record
books? Yeah, that's one of those. By the way,
you're going to grind out for 60 minutes on the field.
I have two. So in the cul-de-sac that I live in, I have two neighbors. Okay. I have one to my left and one to my right. One neighbor I'm good friends with. He's a great guy. His daughters play basketball with my daughters. He's got a bunch of great kids. And I'm almost worried. It's one of those friends where I'm almost worried that I'll run into while I'm mowing the lawn or something, because I know we'll talk for a long time about sports. We'll just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. The other neighbor, I don't even know his name, and he's been there a couple of years. Never got to know him, never introduced myself. He's never introduced himself to me. We wave to each other, but that's about it. His wife's kind of crazy, but whatever. I don't know who he is, but he's a Browns fan. He's a huge Browns fan. He's got a flag outside his house. I just drove by his house yesterday. Him and his wife have put out inflatables for Halloween already. One of them is a pumpkin that's also a helmet of the Browns. Should I go all Steelers on him and put out some stuff? Or should I just, it's better that he does not know I'm a Steelers fan. That's my little neighborhood dilemma. I've never seen a Browns fan before be as open as being a Browns fan as my neighbor. Most of them are like, yeah, I know I'm a Browns fan. Ugh. But he wears it proudly. But I have yet to put out a Steeler flag or anything like that. I don't even have a Steeler inflatable that I could put out during football season. So he would not know. I don't have like a Steeler thing on my car or anything like that. So, but yeah, Cleveland and Pittsburgh is one of the better rivalries in sports. But Deshaun Watson, how people feel about him, and the Steelers played terrible, looking to bounce back after that horrid loss. So those are your two Monday night. I find I want to watch Carolina just to watch Bryce Young. Think I'm curious about Bryce Young. So I'm like, I may watch that game just to see that.
You're telling me you're not going to watch the other one?
Of course I'm going to watch.
You're going to watch that one. Yeah. I guess that's a given.
You have to watch your team.
The audience should know by now. You're going to watch that game.
But again, Derek Carr, couldn't care less that he's on the Raiders.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
I don't care. I don't hate Derek Carr.
No.
I wasn't as big on his free agency as everybody else was. When the Jets said they could win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr, I kind of chuckled. Now, don't get me wrong. I think they also were saying that, if he's a competent quarterback, we are very well built to make a Super Bowl run. Right. But I didn't think, I never believed he could lead them to a Super Bowl.
I'm going to say this now, okay?
Uh-huh.
That's how much faith the Jets organization has in Zach Wilson.
Right. Right.
Right.
That's true. That's what they have to have now, at least.
Well, no, but I'm saying even before. Remember, because we...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
Derek
right. Yeah.
Carr was, I mean, it was just, hey, it was, God, what was the guy, what was that kid's name in Jerry Maguire? It was like, my word is my bond.
Oh, yeah, Kush.
Kush.
Yeah, Cushman.
Right? I mean, Derek Carr was Kush.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the Jets were Kush. I'm sorry, the Jets were Kush. Derek Carr was Jerry Maguire, because they were like, hey, we got you. You're here. You're signed.
That's right.
We'll send the paperwork over shortly. And, he's still waiting.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, we're looking at it this way. The Jets felt You're the anything that is better than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Exactly. That's why it's very difficult for people to put their arms around anything Robert Salas says about
right
Zach
now.
Wilson. He's not. Listen, and I'm not faulting him for lying. You have to do this. This is the only time you can't this is what you have to do. You can't be truthful at that podium. You can be truthful behind the scenes. You can be truthful in your coaches' meetings, but you can't be truthful to the press. You cannot go out and say, we're dead. We're done. It's over. Just ignore us the rest of the way.
How great would it be if Robert Salas just went to the podium and goes, guys, you want the truth? Honestly, we're beep.
Yeah, we're done. I don't even know why I get up in the morning. I just want to stay in bed now. I have no interest in getting up and going to work.
Season's done.
Yeah.
You know, you exactly. never. We really wanted that Derek Carr, and
not
playing,
only do
what team is he playing for? I don't even know. I don't even care.
Said that Derek Carr could be a Super Bowl champion for us, and we still didn't offer him a contract because we wanted something better.
Yeah,
that's how bad it was. We didn't sign him, even though we tried to sell that he could be a champion here, because we still thought we could get Aaron Rodgers, and
Do you think all that was just bait?
Oh, I think so.
To kind of like, you know,
yeah.
they wanted Aaron all along, and Aaron wanted them all along, and he's just like, well, we're going to go on a date with this guy.
I think they did that. You're right. I think they sent a message to Green Bay, like, do you want to trade Aaron Rodgers? We know you do, but if you don't hurry and get to the bargaining table, we're really, really like this person.
I mean, they said yes to going to the prom with us, so your move. I mean, we're willing to... You know, turn her down and go with your girl. But
yeah, that's right. That's right. But now, yeah, no
but
doubt.
But I'm just laughing at that because it's so sad. Because, I mean, Derek Carr, I mean, yeah, has anyone picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl?
No. Right? Now, again, the Jets may be saying, we got Garrett Wilson and we got Breece Hall and we got Sauce Gardner. Like, they may be going, like, we got a lot of things that
he
could help him.
We've got a defensive line that's hungry.
We got a bunch of players who are a quarterback away, and the quarterback away could be a Derek Carr. But again, you're right. If you're selling the Jet fan base, that Derek Carr could win a Super Bowl, and of course, easily sold everybody that Aaron Rodgers could lead you to a Super Bowl. That's a no-brainer. But if you're saying that it could go all the way down to Derek Carr, what does it say about Zach Wilson, who you're pitching us now? Like, that's the problem, right? Is that you just went out of your way the entire summer telling everybody your quarterback is not Super Bowl worthy. Because now this guy's Super Bowl worthy, and of course this guy's Super Bowl worthy, but the one we have isn't.
Yeah.
And then when it's kind of like Zach Wilson is looking like, how you like me now? You're loving me now, right? Just like Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yep.
To Tom Cruise. You're loving me now, aren't you, Jerry? You're loving me now, aren't you, Jerry? Right? When Kush is going off to sign with Sugar.
Bob Sugar.
Bob Sugar. It's so wild. That is a perfect movie analogy for this situation.
I mean, it is.
Seriously. Zach Wilson to look at the Jets go, I'm the only thing you got, don't I, right? Exactly. Yep. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Now, in that movie, that you know, if we want to make it true to form, Cuba did turn it around.
He did. He did. He got up from being nearly paralyzed.
Yeah. Your move, Zach.
Yeah, right? Go, Zach. Go out there and show everybody what you got against the Cowboys.
What are we seeing with Zach lately? Some fan threw a water bottle in his face. It's your own home.
I know.
You're at home, and your own fans are throwing stuff at you.
So amazing. So amazing.
Welcome to New York.
I know. So, well, that's going to be interesting, the Jets-Cowboys game coming up this weekend.
I don't know why the line – I think the line was only at – you know, here we go. I'm going to talk betting odds. Why is it only like at 9?
Has it gone
up? I don't know. I don't even know. I haven't checked.
I know. Now, NFL lines tend to stay around singles. It's very difficult to get a double-digit line. You do get them. Don't get me wrong.
This should be a double-digit line.
Oh, I think so, too.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what? I have faith in the Jets' defense to slow down the Cowboys' offense. I have no faith in the Jets' offense against that Cowboys' defense.
Exactly. I did want to bring up a baseball note before we get to the good, the bad, and the dumb. if a tree falls in a forest, nobody hears it, right? With nobody around to hear it. The Yankees and the Red Sox played a doubleheader yesterday, and no one cared. They're two last place teams. So it wasn't on your TV. It wasn't big. Didn't lead SportsCenter this morning.
Wait, ESPN doesn't show it?
Yeah.
They didn't.
Doubleheader.
Are you meaning to tell me, are you saying this, that they didn't move the game to Sunday night?
That's right. They didn't move it. Yeah, they didn't move it. They didn't. They've had two doubleheaders this week because of rainouts, yeah. And nobody cared. It is remarkable. It is a real. I'm almost happy for baseball that this is happening. I really am. I'm almost happy for baseball that the Orioles are in first place, right? That there's a great battle in the AL West between two up-and-coming teams, one doing it with free agency in Texas, the other a young team in Seattle that was getting good last year, just needed to sort of get a little bit better to go challenge Houston. The Atlanta Braves have won six straight divisional titles. The Dodgers are always going to be a stall, but Arizona is in the wild card race. Arizona is in the wild card race in the National League. The Cubs are in the wild card race. You don't need the Red Sox and the Yankees to make your postseason fun or yep. exciting or attention worthy. These teams stink. They're in last place. The Red Sox just fired their executive, Chaim Bloom. They just fired him. The Yankees will probably fire somebody at some point for their dismal season.
I think the Red Sox are reassigning someone else.
Yep.
Their general manager, I don't know who, I can't remember his name. They took the general manager and just said, oh, we're just going to make you a senior position in the front office. Don't worry about it.
Orioles and the Rays leading the East. It's good for Major League Baseball that you don't need what has been driven down most of America's throat forever. Two teams in those two markets leading your way. You don't have to do that. All right. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next. We continue with the Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Your Friday. We get you ready for another football weekend, and we are not leaving you empty-handed. What is the good of the day?
You know what? The good of the day for me was last night watching the Amazon postgame show. And they brought out Jason Kelce and Jalen Hurts to do the postgame interview. And I was really proud because Tony Gonzalez went after it and asked this really, really tough question to Jason Kelce.
Jason, you talk about family. And I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she's a big fan of a certain pop star. And you have a family member, a brother, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing rumors that there's... maybe some stuff. Can you comment on this?
I've seen these rumors. I cannot comment.
Damn, the damn gossip.
What are we doing? It's for my daughter, okay?
What are we doing?
Ever since catching Kelce, everybody has been infatuated with Travis's love life. So I don't really know what's going on there. I know Trav is having fun, and we'll see what happens with whoever he ends up with.
What does having fun mean?
I'm curious now.
Like, is he dating Taylor Swift, or is he just having fun being Travis Kelce, a single NFL player in Kansas City?
I'm sure he's having fun being Travis Kelce, but I love the fact that it was asked because, you know, we are all curious, aren't we?
I'm kind of curious of whether or not he's dating like the hottest pop star in the world
right now. Right.
What kind of song could be generated from their eventual breakup when he realizes she's crazy and like everybody else who's gone down that road? What song will she generate for that?
It's just so funny because, I mean, you know, honestly, I don't care what football player dates who. Like, you know, I mean, the only other comparison we can make right now is that Russell Wilson's, you know, dating. Is she a former pop star now? Because Ciara,
I think he's married
anything.
To her.
Well, I mean, married, but I mean, you know, she doesn't do anything anymore. So, I mean, do we still call her a pop star?
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know. That's a good point.
But we didn't really care when they started dating. But this one is so intriguing because, yeah, you're talking about, you know, one of the premier players in the NFL. Everyone knows who Travis Kelce is, and he's very successful off the field with the TV show and everything else. And then, yeah, the biggest pop star on the planet.
I know.
And so there is. I mean, it's... it's not really macho to be into a football player's love life, but I think we all, even the macho man, is just sitting there going, I'm kind of curious. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I know. It's and like I said, she's going to break up with him and write a really cool yeah. song about it. You left me on the sidelines, penalized for holding. Like, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big hit. Girls will be singing it all over the place. And we'll go, yeah, that's when she married, she dated the tight end, the guy.
You know, the way she'll do it, too, she'll make subtle references. Like, you know, that time we had Kansas City barbecue.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Never say
that's
the name. She doesn't say the name.
Oh, she'll never say the name. But there'll be enough clues in the song to go, that's when she dated that guy, Travis Kelce, that player.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, what do you mean having fun? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Having fun.
Well, I know. I think what Jason's meaning, Jason was
being single, like being an NFL star, being single.
Yeah.
That's fun enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be great.
My wife and I were talking about this the other day because we were about Tampa Bay, about the Buccaneers. And when my wife and I were dating, Mike Allstott was the big star in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And my wife loved Mike Allstott, but nevertheless, so did everybody else. And Steve Dumig, the late Steve Dumig at WDAE, Pat Donovan station, used to do a show with Mike Allstott at an Applebee's in Tampa. And so Mike Allstott would show up at his Applebee's location and do his Mike Allstott show. I think it was like Mondays or whatever it was on the station. This was in the late 90s. And he said later, he goes, Allstott had a girlfriend. All right. So he wasn't single, but he had a girlfriend. But he would sit at the chair. And girls would throw paper at him, and not only did the paper have their number, but he said there were things written on the paper you couldn't read aloud in public. Just the things that these girls would write to Mike Allstott. And he would laugh and chuckle and wave and sign autographs, but he was dating somebody who eventually would think would be his wife. But that's Travis Kelce without the girlfriend. Right? Like, that's how popular like he is. Like, that's what you're talking about. How did this happen, by the way? Did he just ask her or did she approach him? Like, where did this come from?
I think.
Was she in Kansas City for a concert and he just got backstage passes or something?
No, I think he was pursuing her.
Even better.
And I think I remember reading somewhere that he pursued her, through a manager to a manager, a friend to friend, that whole thing. And I think she originally denied him and turned him down, but then now maybe changed her. I don't know, because it's rumored that they're dating. But, a lot of times when there's smoke, there's fire.
I think you're right. Well done, Travis Kelce. No. If you get a month or 6 months out of this thing and you're dating the hottest pop star in the world, congratulations.
You'll be immortalized.
That's awesome. That's great. You'll be immortalized. There will be
regardless.
A hit song.
It doesn't matter. Regardless. Even if they marry each other, right? And they go on and they live happily ever after. It still will be, he'll be immortal. He's immortalized no matter what.
Yeah.
As long as there's not a rumor.
Who was the guy? Was it David Collier who was Alanis Morissette's?
Yep.
That's right. Right. She wrote a song about, and David Collier said, when I heard the song, I immediately knew it was me.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce's going to have that moment.
No, and listen,
he's going to listen to a song down the road. And he's going to go, yep, that's about me.
Hasn't she written a song about John Mayer? James
yes.
Gyllenhaal?
That's what I hear.
A lot of other celebrities that we know that. There's songs about them and then some no-name guy.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Congrats. Well done, Travis Kelce.
Travis.
All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and this might become a reoccurring theme. First of all, this was the dumb until I found another story because I think we're going to spend a little bit more time on it, which will be fun. But this was the dumb. I moved it to the bad, and I think this guy might be appearing in these two categories throughout the season. And I'm talking about Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon.
Oh, here we go.
He has a revolutionary idea for the fans on how he wants to behave when they're playing.
How they behave. Okay.
How they behave. You ready for it?
Yes.
Get loud on defense and stay quiet on offense.
Ugh. Okay. Well, I can't be excited.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
That, hey, when the other team has the ball, get loud and support our defense. But when we have the ball,
make sure that everybody can hear the snap.
Quiet down a little bit.
Yeah, so they can, if he needs to audible or if he needs to, you know, whatever the snap count is,
exactly,
that they can execute with precision.
Yeah, you could cheer after, you know, when the play's done. Yeah. Cheer. Cheer.
Yeah, especially when we score in the end zone and get 6 points because it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Or when we kick the ball through the uprights, it has to go all the way through. But if that happens, we get 3 points, and you can cheer when that occurs. Now, if our defense sacks a guy in the end zone, we get 2 points in the ball, so you can definitely cheer for that too. Is that his football lesson to Arizona?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't wait for other gems from Jonathan Gannon this season.
Well, I can't. I'm wondering if this will spread like wildfire throughout the NFL. Yeah. I wonder if other coaches will sit there and go, you know, that guy, that was a great idea.
Did he ace this the interview with with Arizona management when they talked to him about being a head coach?
I was reading this Arizona article, and the author of this article says Gannon's expectations for this might not come to fruition because Cardinal fans have kind of turned on the Cardinals,
right?
So you might hear booing during the towards the offense when they're on the field and cheering when the other team's moving the ball.
That's great.
That's how bad it is. Yeah. Bad it is in Arizona right now.
Oh, come on.
So maybe this isn't bad or dumb. Maybe he does have to come out and say, guys, we're trying here. Can you be supportive?
Oh, this is gonna. This
it
is gonna
would
be fun
really
to watch,
nice.
Man. Yeah,
be nice of you to be nice to our players. To be nice of our rocket scientists as a quarterback.
How in the world did he pass?
I have no idea.
Seriously, how did he win over? Oh, I know, because they want Caleb Williams as the first pick in the draft.
Ah.
They figured out what's the best way to get that. Right.
Honestly, at the end of the season, the two Bobs is going to say, not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, not going to work here anymore. Let me get this straight. You're giving me a promotion and doubling my salary? Yeah, that. Oh, no, the pleasure's on this side of the table.
Believe you,
Jonathan.
Me.
Believe you, me. Pleasure's on this side of the table.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the dumb, but. Like I said, I saw another story, and I was like, you know, I think we need to dive in. We've talked about this. You and I have talked about this off air, but I think we need to dive into it now.
Okay.
Now, and this is what the dumb of the day is going
to
be.
We'll have that for you when we come back. Plus, we got some Twitter to get to. Again, if you want to hit us up there or on X, whatever you want to call it, that's at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. The dumb when we return as we continue along on a Friday. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Philip on Twitter, what's that line from the Fallout Boy song? I'm just a notch in your bedpost, but you're a line in a song. Kelsey's about to find out. Yeah, exactly. You're right.
You can't say that about T-Swift.
Yeah, well.
Careful there, Philip. She might write a song from you over that comment.
Yeah, you never know with Taylor Swift. She might. I really can't wait to hear the Travis Kelce song that's coming from this relationship. I can't wait.
Just he also a rumor, we don't know if it's true or not. It's just a rumor.
He also wrote the Jets are suffering from Kushlash. Yes, they are. Kushlash. I got Kushlash. Yeah, exactly. I got to watch that movie again. I don't think I've seen that movie in 15 years.
Yeah.
Years.
When that movie first came out, I this is how I described it to other people. And, you know, follow me here. It is the best date movie.
Yeah, because you get sports and a romance.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah.
There's something in it for us, and there's something in it for the ladies.
That's right.
And I thought, God, this is the best date movie because, you know, the girls are fawning over Renee Zellweger, just in love with Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise isn't paying attention to her yet, and we're just like, God, is this how agents really are?
An underrated role in that movie, before we get to the dumb, an underrated role in that movie is the late Kelly Preston.
Yes.
She's great in it.
Especially
when she is walking up and down the table dropping off pamphlets and she goes, I don't cry at movies or something like that. She's just giving the speech about how tough she is. And then she kicks him.
Yeah.
Like, she, underrated role. She was great. She was ruthless. Great. All right. Now, what is the dumb of the day?
All right. You and I talked about this earlier in the week, and we didn't really mention it on air.
Okay.
All right. And so the story's kind of been sticking with me. And then I found another story. I found actually two more stories today, or three, from last night and to today. And I'm like, okay, we got to just talk about this. And so here's my question to you. And I don't know if it's dumb. I don't know if it's bad. I don't know if it's good. But I'm putting in the dumb day. What is going on with UFOs and aliens?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Does it feel like stories are just coming up out of everywhere?
Well, we had some friends over last night, and we were talking about this, and I've said I'm going back and forth. Now, we had one woman say that you had military personnel under oath talking about the aliens, but you know what?
Right.
They didn't have. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm more than willing to admit I'm wrong. My thought was that testimony were people under oath saying they heard from somebody that there was alien, that they worked on alien craft, that they didn't have anybody that said, no, I've been working on this alien craft for 10 years, that they just had people who claim they heard people say the aliens. So I don't know what this is. I did say to her, the one thing that I did notice once on Twitter where, and again, I take everything with a grain of salt. I don't believe, trust it, but there was a map that showed all of the UFO sightings. People who have reported UFOs, right? Guess where all of them are in the United States?
Oh, boy.
They're not reporting UFOs in Africa, South America, some in Europe, but not all. And Asia, no. It's all in the United States. And I wonder if there's something to that. I wonder if there is one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Because let's all be honest. We've all read or heard of UFO stories our whole lives.
Our whole life.
Our whole lives.
I'm thankful that the probing angle has gone
right,
away.
Right, exactly.
You
exactly.
Know, that seems to have disappeared. But, I mean, like I said, it's like, you know, so you and I were talking about it earlier this week because of the video coming out of Mexico. And now, after watching that video and reading about that, it's like, okay, well, I don't really believe that one. I don't know if that one's true or not. But it's the other little stories that I'm hearing now that, you know, just read I think it came out yesterday that NASA has secretly appointed a UFO chief.
Yeah.
Like, a guy's job is to be in charge of all UFO activity.
And why now?
Right.
Like, why now? Like, okay, think about the movie Fire in the Sky that was in the 90s. I think James Gardner was in the movie, if I'm not mistaken. It's about a group of guys in Arizona in the 1970s and saw a UFO, and one of their friends claims to be abducted. They claim he was actually abducted into the ship. That they made a movie about it called Fire in the Sky. That was in the 70s. I remember growing up in New Hampshire, there was, I think the couple's name were the Hills, and they claimed to have been abducted by a UFO in the 50s. Why today? Why today are we doing this now?
Yeah, why now?
My whole life I've been hearing alien stories. My whole life. I read them in little Scholastic readers and stuff like that. My whole life.
And the only thing I can think of is that, you know, everyone has a camera now. Back then, no one had a camera.
You just take your word for it,
you know, and it's still, that's why to this day it makes me mad that Vegas incident, because there's new details on that one. Did you see that?
No.
But you remember the Vegas incident where, you know, police saw the bright lights and then they went to the house and the guys were like, you know, there was 2 10-foot aliens in our backyard, and not one person in that house. It's like 5 people, not one of them had a camera. It makes me mad. Like, we take videos all the time. And don't get me started on why, you know, footage of Bigfoot and is always grainy. We'll tackle that one again some other day. But the latest on that one is that they released a sketch. They did their own
artist
renderings, and they're terrible.
Of course they are.
And it's like, why did you do that? Now I don't want to believe you at all. Because it's like you're purposely debunking it yourself now.
Here's the other thing I asked last night amongst the friends that came over. Do we want this to be true? Like, do we want UFOs
or
to be real?
Are we at the point like we don't care? Let it be.
Well, okay, let's on that, I'm gonna I'm going to slightly disagree on that.
No,
one.
I'm saying,
the reason is because right now we're getting clouded information. But I mean, definitively, would you want there to be UFOs? Would you want there to be aliens visiting this planet? Or would you rather it all be a hoax? And as of right now, we are the only ones in the universe, or we're alone, but no one's coming to see us.
See, I for me, it's this. I can't imagine.
You can't say you don't care. I mean, if an alien ship was over New York City, it would change everything you believe.
No,
right off the bat, instantly.
Yeah, I think you misunderstood me. I'm not saying I don't care that if aliens exist or not. It's like I'm at that point now where, I don't believe it's a cover up. That it's not true. And it's like now that the government is just releasing information after information after information, and just kind of letting it go. It's like, I don't care what you guys are saying. Just come out and just show us.
Right.
It's like, you guys keep talking the talk. Now I want to see you walk the walk.
Right. If you're going to imply it, then come up with evidence. But here's my overrunning point. If you saw a beings that had the technological advancements to travel through space, to come to this place, found us in the first place, okay? Found out that there was humans and life on this planet, found out and were able to travel through wormholes, excel the speed of light, and arrive here. What else could they show us? Yeah. Or are they hostile and we don't stand a chance?
Well, I would believe that if they were hostile, we don't stand a chance. Because if they can manipulate time and space like that.
So that's what I'm saying. That is the point I have been making about this that I don't think people are really grasping. If this is real, everything about your existence changes.
Yeah,
it changes.
I mean, honestly,
you could look at your religion, and I don't care what religion you can worship a monkey god. You can be Jewish, Christian, Muslim. it would challenge your faith. It would challenge science. It would change your own existence, your own like everything. It would be scary in a way that you could not comprehend. Because again, they could come down and enslave us all. They could be our friends and cure cancer. The spectrum is wide. But here's the thing. It wouldn't be controllable. And that's the scary part. We're not going to fight them back like Independence Day. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. But the spectrum of the possibilities of that. So when it's almost like they're toying with this.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't toy with this. This is not a game. If there really are alien beings visiting this planet, that's not for Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. That's a real crisis. That is a real thing. So when you have people going on congressional hearings that get completely ignored or whatever it is, we're not talking about, just government they wasted money at the Pentagon. Whatever. Okay. Some people take that seriously. Some don't. An alien ship with real aliens in it would be the most incredible thing in our lifetime, in any lifetime of anybody who's ever lived ever. And yet they're treating it like it's a tabloid issue that should be on some talk show in the afternoon for Housewives.
Or they're just kind of dangling it like a carrot. To get us to start marching
exactly.
In a certain way. It's like, it's right here.
Exactly.
But just kidding.
Right, right, exactly. All right, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Again, we're going to go over all of NFL schedule, the games in week two, to give you our value for them. And then, right off the bat in hour three, Jordan Nahani will join us to talk NFL and talk about some of the issues that are going on, a couple of the injuries that are affecting week two games. Last night's Eagles win, where it felt like there was no way the Vikings should have been in that game, and yet they were an onside kick away from getting an opportunity to take the lead of the game.
I just think back and watching that entire game and then seeing the final score, it just didn't make any sense to me. A crazy stat that I saw that somebody was quick to point out is that Minnesota was 11-0 last year in one-score games.
Yeah, I know.
0-2 this year.
Exactly. So again, that's the NFL luck. That is going to a roulette table and putting it on red and having red just come up constantly. And then you keep it on red and eventually black starts showing up and you lose.
And it literally was what we were saying all along last year. It's like, I just can't trust this Minnesota team. Can't trust this Minnesota team. And yeah, sure enough. Now, yesterday, I mean, I thought Kirk Cousins played great.
I thought it was fine.
I thought he did a good job. You know,
He kept coming back. I mean, every time the Eagles were like, that's it, we're done, he would go, no, we're not quite done yet.
Yeah, and even the one fumble that he had, I mean, there's, you know, that line, that was more on his line than him.
Right.
Know, it's just, there's nothing.
He threw four touchdowns. I mean, it's a good statistical night.
It's just, it was really amazing to me that they were, that it was only a one-score game of 6 points at the end of the game. Yeah. It was like.
Now, they were held to 28 yards rushing, but because they were trailing a lot, Cousins put it up 44 times. So there's a complete disparity. They only rushed 9 times in the game last night. So that's more to do with, one, the Eagles' defense establishing early that Alexander Mattison wasn't going anywhere. And two, you find yourself going, well, we got to keep throwing it downfield, right? But Justin Jefferson was fine. I mean, he had 159 yards until he stretched out his arms and had the ball go out of bounds. It's one of those games where you thought, okay, the Eagles are going to be finishing this off, and they couldn't. Now, again, that onside kick was terrible. But here's my problem. Most onside kicks are terrible. Like, I don't know how to judge properly a good onside kick.
That one was
atrocious.
Terrible.
That went in. That went beyond the blockers in
it went
that are ahead.
I think I counted. It went 7 yards.
Right.
Yeah. It went 7 yards. It never got off the ground. I guess the idea behind a kick like that, I mean, even Kirk Herbstreit kept pointing out, there's like, you know, most of the guys put it on a tee. And I was like, that's usually how it's done. You can either put it on a tee or you do a little pooch kick.
Right,
but both those are on a tee. I thought maybe he was going to go soccer style and try to chip it, but he just kept it on the ground and was, I guess, trying to make a spin weird enough that it would be hard to pick up.
Did you do kickoffs or did you just kick field goals?
Both.
Both, okay. So do you practice different onside kicks? I've never asked a kicker this before.
It's a high school thing. You don't.
But nevertheless.
For a minute.
But like does...
my thing was is I had it on the tee. I would put it straight up and down, and I would kick the top of the ball.
Okay, but does your coach say, Ron, we've got 5 different onside kick styles?
No,
and we're going to go with 3.
No,
and you go, oh, that's when I drive it into the ground and hope it and make it pop up.
No, I did 2 types. Other than the two type of kicks I ever practiced, other than just blasting it down the field like a normal kickoff and try to pin him way, way down, was a pooch kick and, an onside kick. And the onside kick, I only remember doing that once. And I don't think we ever touched it again. And I never did it in a game. We weren't close enough. But I did an entire game where all I did was pooch kicks because the two guys in the back, there was a high school, one of the high schools that we played, it was called Taft High School. And, they were kind of nationally known. And the two kick returners were also the wide receivers, were two of the fastest people in California for that age in high school.
Okay.
And so my coach was like, I don't want them to ever touch the ball. And so all night long was just a pooch kick. I would just do it like 20, 30 yards. And all I kept thinking about in the high school mentality of me was, I bet you all these people in the stands think I can't kick the ball far. And that's really bothering me right now.
I don't think so. I think they knew what you were doing. A lot of kickers do that. I don't think so. That was high school, Ron, but I think most people knew you were trying to keep it away from those people.
I spent one time, but I've never thought about kicking.
Yeah, I want to get
back
to onside kicking for a second because I've been to so many NFL training camps where kickers barely do any work. They just they just kick some field goals.
No, we do our own.
They stretch, right? You're on your own thing.
We're off to the side.
Right. Well, let's not confuse high school Ron to NFL professional kicker Ron.
No, this is the thing. But, the NFL, they get some field time.
Right.
But the rest of the team's still in the locker room.
Right. So you go out there and you kick and you do some things, you stretch and all that other stuff.
We're barely
part of
the team.
Okay. It is taking me very long to get to this point. I don't think this is practiced in a way because it feels like every time there's an onside kick, the kicker is making some huge mistake in how he performs the onside kick. The goal is to create chaos. The goal is to put it in a position where the ball is doing what it's supposed to do naturally, which is being an oblong shape that bounces in different directions, where it can bounce backwards, forward, sideways. And I seek onside kicks all the time in the NFL that don't do that, where it's easy for the receiving team to get.
Yep.
It's very easy for this receiving team to field. So, and everyone knows my feeling on onside kicks. I think they're worthless. I want to see it changed. I love the fourth down idea. I know it's radical. I know it's ridiculous. It's the only fighting chance you have in a game. I'm sorry. Onside kicks are worthless. They never work ever, ever. And if they do, God bless you. But that is so rare, you should tape it, save it, and put it on in a museum, because they never work. They don't work in college, and they don't work in the NFL. It is just too much. You put the hands team out there. You got a bunch of guys out there that know how to field this.
And I think that was the big difference, too, is that when the receiving team, because I remember growing up, I don't remember ever there being a hands team.
Right. Now, that's right. They didn't say you would not play special teams if you were like a wide receiver. That was crazy. You just sent out the special teams. But now they're like, yeah, everybody that can catch a ball, field a ball, you go out there and do this.
Yeah, and I'll put my number one wide receiver, who I'm paying way too much money for,
let him go catch
his ball.
Right. So, but I'm going to give a little bit of credit to the Vikings last night. The idea that at the end of the game you're onside kicking to get a chance to win. They were down 6. A touchdown and an extra point wins them the game.
Now,
I have zero idea how this occurred.
I know. But here's my question. They're down 6. They've been playing great on offense. Wouldn't they have loved a 4th-and-15?
An opportunity? Absolutely. Absolutely they would have. He already had a 62-yard touchdown in this game. They were moving the ball down the field pretty well with Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. I would love it. You'd love a chance to see that.
4th-and-15 from the 25. That's all we're asking for, NFL.
I think the NFL just doesn't want to go super radical. I think that's the problem. I think it's like, we'll adjust a rule or two here in the course of the expectation of the play. All right, so defensive holding is going to be like this, and roughing the passer may be like this, but we're not going to implement something so radical that it's completely different from the norm. I'll flip this. Look at baseball, right? Baseball went, is it part of our 100-plus year history that extra innings has a runner on second base to start the game?
Yes.
No!
Yeah.
But great now point. It is. Now
great,
it is.
Great point.
Right? Look at NASCAR. NASCAR was, how do we crown a champion? We run all these races, whoever has the most points wins. Consistency wins. And then NASCAR went, you know, people don't seem to like this, so we're going to create a 16-driver playoff where 4 are eliminated after 3 races, and then 4 more are eliminated after the other races, and if you win, you automatically advance, and it may not be the best driver at the end of the season that wins a championship, but you know what? What sport does the best team win the championship? We're going to be like everybody else where a playoff is going to be open. They changed the way they did business. I'm asking for an opportunity to make the game more exciting than a dumb onside kick that has zero chance of being successful ever. I'm sorry. You can give me every stat you want. You know it, and I know it. Reach down. Before you send me a tweet of the success of onside kicks, which is still like a couple of percentages, ask yourself this question. When your team needs an onside kick, are you 100% confident that it's 50-50? It is not. You know it and I know it. You're dead. You hope, but you know it's not happening. Your team lines up, you're like, oh, if we could get this ball. Oh, if we could get this ball. And you deep down, you're kidding yourself. You know you're not getting the ball.
And I'll say this, right? NFL, if you're worried about doing something, you know, so radical as, you know, doing like the 4th-and-15 from the 25, make it optional. You can still kick the ball.
You can still kick the ball if you want. That's right. Make it optional.
You can still do an onside kick. We're just saying, you know, let's give him a fighting chance, because right now the onside kick is not a fighting chance.
And you might say, 4th-and-15, who converts those? I'd rather see them try to do that than a stupid thing that I've known for my whole life is a worthless play.
Yep.
That doesn't count. Jordan Dahani will join us. Then we will follow that up with our review of the weekend, or preview of the weekend's games in the NFL as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.